This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
From the ArmeniaProud.com studios,
Genatsit Hayed.
This is A Toast to Armenia with Jano Kabinjian. A comprehensive look at the Armenian culture, only on lineupmedia.fm.
Genatsit Parluis Inchpesek. Hey, folks, we got a big show for us this week, and it's going to be, I'm afraid it's going to be over an hour, but I think you guys are still going to love it. We're going to have our sports guy, Ger, on the show. We're going to have Anush talk about wine, and we're going to have Tigran. He's the owner of this place out in Armenia that's going to have the longest zip line in the world. And I can't wait. I can't wait to hear about it. I can't wait to know how he came up with this. And it's going to be an interesting show. Again, it's going to run a little bit over an hour, but I hope you guys like it. And our first guest here, well, our segment, our sports guy, and that is Ger Haykazunyan. And Ger, how are you?
I'm great. I'm just great, as always. Every time you call me, I get better.
Oh, excellent, excellent. And I tell you what, Ger, I mentioned you when we had Yura on the show.
Yeah, I heard the interview.
It was pretty good, wasn't it? It's pretty good. I'm so glad we got him on because I've been wanting to get him on the show for a while now, and it was good to get him on. And, you know, I hope he plays for Armenia again. But whatever he does, I wish him nothing but the best.
Yeah. Exactly. We'll be behind him. We'll be rooting for him. But I thought he would play eventually. I mean, I got some good expectations about it.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I heard, like, he went all, maybe. I've talked to the board, to the Federation board. Not for now. I'm not playing for now. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
But I think he could.
It wasn't an open and end statement there.
Excuse me?
It wasn't an open and closed statement, what he said. I think he kept it open to her.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. The options, I mean, everything's on the table. Nothing's
right.
Off.
Right, right. All right, Ger, what's been happening with our Armenian soccer team? What's been going on? Anything that relating our Armenian players?
We got some news for you guys, for the audience, and for you, John, and the guys over there. We got the national roster released last week. We got also our two of our three players, strikers down here in South America, who are in great form. We'll be talking about that. We also have Henrik Mkhitaryan's first European final coming up this week. And, of course, we're going to be talking about the upcoming fixtures for the June camp, national team June camp. You tell me where you want to begin.
You're the guy. You're the professor. Just get us going here, Ger. Start us off, and I'll just roll with whatever you got to say.
You make me blush, John.
I hope I don't make you blush. Just give us a soccer, will you?
Not too much.
Oh.
Not too much. Okay, good. We're on the same page.
Yes.
Okay, then we'll start where I'm from. We'll start in South America. We got Mauro Gevgiosyan, as you might well know.
By the way, folks.
Peruvian player, as you call him.
Hang on one second, Ger. Ger is in Argentina right now, and he follows our Armenian soccer, football, any players and all that. So when you say South America, I just wanted people to know where you're at right now. Okay, go on. If you can just start that little segment over again, that'd be great.
Great. Well, we got some players in Argentina as well as in Uruguay. To begin with, we got Mauro Gevgiosyan, a former Armenian national team player. He is, as we all know, a big, big physical striker. He has a knack for goal. He is an all-around great professional striker. We got him down here in an Argentine weak team. It's a very weak team, but it doesn't stop him from scoring and doing what he does best. For instance, he has played 10 games and started in 8 games this season in Argentina. And listen, check this out. In his last 4 games or 5, 5 games, he has scored 3 goals.
Wow.
Can you believe that?
3 goals. 3 goals in 5 games. That's not bad.
It's really impressive, especially considering he's not in a great team.
Right.
Particularly.
Yeah. Yeah, that really hurts your playing if you're on a weak team, because you're constantly playing defense and you don't have a much offensive team to help you out.
He doesn't have many opportunities, but he makes use of every chance he gets.
All right, okay. So what's his status here? Is he ever what? I like to find out any of these guys going back to Armenia to play or anything like that.
Well, regarding Mauro, the situation is basically the same as with Jura.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I'm sad to say this, but we might not see. I mean, Jura at least has played a lot more games than Mauro for our national team, which makes him more likely to rejoin the team eventually.
Right.
Mauro was like an unsuccessful experience.
He didn't enjoy it either. Yeah.
He I don't know if he enjoyed it or not, but I get the feeling that the Federation Board was not
working with him.
I mean, they were not happy with it.
Right.
So I don't think we're going to be seeing Mauro, which makes me sad, because I'm pissed off, as you might imagine. He is in great form. I mean, his overall season stats are really impressive. He's got 10 games, 4 goals, and 4 assists.
Uh-huh. That's not bad at all, man. That's really good.
Oh, I mean,
outstanding.
He is at a very weak team, and he's been involved in at least one goal per game.
Now let me ask you this, Gare. If he's having this type of season, don't the premier Argentine teams look at this and say, hey, we want him to be part of this?
Well, there have been a few rumors going on. Particularly the biggest rumor regarding involving Mauro is Mexican Pachuca, which is, I don't know if you know about
No,
team,
I do, yeah.
But really? Okay.
Yeah, Pachuca, they're good teams out there.
It's a great team. It's the North American Continental Champion.
Right. America and those teams, right? They play a team called America. They play
American Mexican team, yeah.
No, not American Mexican. It's they're called America or something like that. It's a Mexican league, and the team's called America. And then they have a Tazuca or something.
Team.
Yeah, it's a pretty damn good league they're playing in. Yeah.
Yeah, Pachuca is one of the biggest teams in Mexico. I mean, as I've said, they're the North American Continental Champions right now. They will be playing at the end of the year the World Cup, Club World Cup, and semifinals are already set up. They're going to be playing whoever wins the UEFA Champions League final between Real Madrid and Juventus.
And is that the Liga Conference?
They're the Mexican team playing in the Mexican League.
Yeah.
Liga MX.
Like the Toluca and the
Toluca, Pachuca, Chivas, America.
Yeah. Okay, that's it.
Atlas.
Okay, so he's got an opportunity to play there?
Yeah, Pachuca is very interested in Mauro.
Nice.
Actually, the day that Pachuca's interest became known Mauro scored a double.
Wow.
The very same day, yeah.
That puts a big stamp on approval to pick this guy up. So whatever happened to my player down in when I visited Peru? He was down there. He was a line. What was that? Real.
This is Mauro played in Peru.
In that was okay. That's Mauro because I thought that's the one that played there, and he was like. That name sounded like the same name I heard in Peru. He was the captain of the Real team down there.
No, I don't think he was the captain, but he was the big guy in the offensive. He had a great season in Peru. From there, he went to Colombia. He had a great season there. Now he's down here in Argentina. He's having a great season in here for the fourth time in a row. He's on fire and he's making things going,
yeah,
which is exciting.
Yeah, I think he played. He played for when I seen him in Peru. He played for Real Alianza. That was it. Yeah,
Alianza Lima. Yeah,
Alianza Lima.
One of the two biggest teams in Peru.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. All right, so we got him. Who else is making some news?
Then we got Diego Rossi Marashlian in Uruguay, not far from where I'm talking right now. He's playing in Peñarol, which is one of the biggest teams in the entire continent, not just in their country.
Okay. Does he have any admiration to join the Armenian team down the line, too, or anything like that?
I doubt it. He is... I doubt it. He's a Uruguay under 19 national team member. He is 19 years old right now.
Gare, off to a wrong start because I'd like for you to go knock on his door and tell him about us. Tell him about the Armenian national team.
Well, I'd have to take a ship to Montevideo and tell him. Yeah, I mean, I would love to, but I doubt he is. He would choose us over Uruguay.
Well, that's where you come in. That's where you come in. That's how you put your foot in the door and you have a contract, have him sign it, and he's part of our team.
Exactly. Plus, I'm older than him, so I got some authority over him, right?
Right, exactly. If you need my production guy, too, I'll send Brian there. He'll take care of business. Yeah.
Is he a big guy? Because I need a bodyguard.
Oh, Brian is a big guy. Brian is just a specimen here. I love him. Okay, so we got this guy here. He's playing for Uruguay. Nothing really happening to him. He says he's Armenian, but nothing to do with it. All right, who else we got?
Well, that's it for our
sensation,
you know, jewels down here, our stars.
Right.
South America.
All right. What about our home team?
We have to talk about our very own national team star. We have to talk about that.
Please do.
Well, you know that he is being benched in the Premier League. He's kind of a rough start. He's been on a rough start to life in Manchester, in England.
Why is it? Why is it, Gare, that him and that coach can't get along? I mean, I don't think it's our guy. Our guy just wants to play. I think this coach, he's a prick. I mean, this guy does not really.
I agree.
He's not good with our guy, and I don't know what it is. He's playing too many mind games with Henrik, and I think it's getting to the guy.
Exactly. You know, they call him the special one. They call Mourinho the special one.
Yeah, he's special, all right.
Exactly. That's what I was going for. I mean, the guy is just kind of a psycho.
Yeah. Not a borderline.
As you said, plays way too many mind games.
Yeah. After a while, that takes a toll on an athlete. I played football, and I tell you, I couldn't handle every time when a coach pulled me over, started talking to me. And there, one time I confronted my coach about it, and I asked him, well, why are you doing this to me all the time? And he told me, you know what, I care about you. But I don't think that's the instance in this matter here, because I think this guy's got an agenda for Mkhitaryan.
Maybe, but whatever it is, either he loves her more, he hates him, but there's a certain limit for everything. You know?
Exactly. I agree.
And this guy is about to cross it. He's about to cross the line. I mean, this is a do-or-die week, and he cannot afford to lose the
best opportunity he had.
I mean, this is a huge week coming up.
Right.
This Wednesday, the 24th of May, we got the UEFA Europa League final between Arsenal, Manchester United, and Dutch Ajax.
Who are these guys again? Same. I think you're cracking up there.
They're Manchester United playing Ajax. From the Netherlands.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that team's pretty good.
Yeah, they're pretty good. So it's going to be a very, very interesting game. Wednesday, everybody in the audience should write this down. Wednesday the 24th, we got this huge game.
Well, let me ask you this. If our guy's on the bench, why the hell do I want to watch that? I mean, to me, that was the whole thing.
Because the exciting news about this is that Mkhitaryan's almost got a guaranteed spot in the starting 11, in the starting lineup.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Well, that's good then.
This is the one competition Mkhitaryan has played, and coincidentally, it's the one competition Manchester United have succeeded.
Okay. All right. That's cool. All right, so we wish nothing but the best for him, and every time I see him on highlights, Armenians always post something up, and he's got the sweetest goal I ever seen in my life. That one that was from the not corner, but it was like I don't know about 20-30 yards out.
The Scorpion King.
What's that?
Giants, the Scorpion King.
Yeah. It's unbelievable.
Speaking of which, how are you fitting that Mkhitaryan jersey? You told me you'd hit the gym. How's that been going?
Garrett's going good. I've been losing weight, and I still need more because, you know what? You soccer people are just really, really skinny people. And when you wear these uniforms, they look like they belong on you. I wear this uniform, it's like you better call the fire department to get it off of me because it is really tight and it's not getting off of me. So,
You're like the Hulk. You're a big guy. You should be proud of that and, you know, just intimidate people with that.
I used to. Now it's the Hulk has put on extra weight too, eating a lot of Armenian food. I've been losing it again, but it's still going to be a big process for me. And I tell you what, man, eating Armenian food is one of a kind that I just have a hard time passing up. We were at my friend's house and they had the food out.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable.
How do you get Armenian food in St. Louis?
Well, you usually have Armenian families that live there, and that really helps the whole thing out. I mean, that's it. We have about good Armenian friends. We have about, I would say, about 6, 7, 8 families that we all get together, and we have a real good time. I mean, it's like my wife's always happy, and I'm happy with the guys, and you know what? Everyone feels good. There's no pressure or anything like that, so everything's good. And a hell of a food, too. I love their food. Anyway.
Beautiful. That's beautiful to hear.
Yeah. I mean, wherever there's an Armenian, we magnetize around the Armenians. That's what it's all about, and that's why, that's why I want to always hear about our soccer players throughout the world. So, So we got Mkhitaryan. What else happened with the national team now?
On to the juicy stuff. Good. We got the national team roster released last week. We got for the June camp, which will be starting in less than 2 weeks from now. We got some new faces about which we're going to be talking right now. The upcoming fixtures, and repeat this later on, we'll be playing a friendly game on Sunday, the 4th of June, against St. Kitts and Nevis, the Caribbean team.
Oh, we should destroy this team.
Well, that's it's a tricky game.
There's no tricks to it. We got to destroy this team. I cannot believe there's no tricks here. Where are they playing this game, Gare?
We're playing this in Yerevan.
Okay, yeah. They're flying all the way to our home. The whole thing is not going to sit well with them. They're on elevation and everything, too. I think we're going to beat them 3-0. That's what I got, 3-0. There's no tricks to this one. No magic.
I hope you're right, but this game's going to be kind of like Pandora box, Schrodinger's box, if you will, because you don't know how good they are. I mean, who really does know how good St. Kitts and Nevis are? Plus, if you beat them, imagine, I mean, hypothetically, say we beat them, which is kind of a logical thing here.
Right, very logical.
Then what? I mean, we haven't beat anyone worth beating, you know?
Yeah, how did we get them on our friendly schedule?
I don't know. They probably liked their game. They look like an underdog, but they probably have some good moves as well.
Yeah, you know what I'd like to see? I'd like to see Armenia take a trip to Argentina or Brazil or something, play a friendly. I mean, we went to Germany when Germany was number one in the world, and guess what? It was like 1-1 at halftime. And then they exploded on us.
Yeah,
I think they put up 6 or 7 goals on us. But in any case, they did that to even Brazil that year. I'm saying.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. And we played them tight throughout the whole half. My point is we can go somewhere like Argentina. There'll be a lot of Armenians there too. I think we got to get some sort of a schedule like that put together. Playing a Caribbean team, we have nothing to gain from it. If we win, we're supposed to win. If we lose, then how the hell did you lose to that? It really breaks morale up.
Totally. I got to agree with this. We all have this ideas. You know, we agree on this. We're on the same page and all. But at the end of the day, the decision is up to the Federation Board, and we're not part of it, or
right.
We don't get the vote, you know.
Right, right.
It's how it is. It's how it is. But as I was saying, we don't have to be really concerned about the friendly game, because if we lose, say, I don't know, it's going to be a surprise, yeah, but it's going to be a shocker.
I don't even want to talk about the losing aspect. We're going to win it. And who do we got in the regular after that? Who do we play?
I don't know who is going to play. But
No, I'm talking about on our schedule. On our schedule. Who's after the friendly
after
game?
Yeah, we got the official qualifier game on Saturday the 10th, 1 week after the friendly game.
Uh-huh.
We're playing Montenegro away.
Okay. All right. We always play them tight. They play us tight. They don't – it's a very boring game when these two hook up, because they both smother the middle. There's no it looks like they're lobbing the ball back and forth. So whoever wins this one wins a 1-0 game.
Excuse me, I didn't hear it.
I said whoever wins this one wins a 1-0 game. That's the way I always see these two. They always it's a tight one, and it always ends up being like 1-0 or something like that.
It's going to be a really close game indeed. Yeah, what concerns me the most about this game, the Montenegro game, is that the situation with some key national team members of ours. For instance, remember I told you about you, I told you and the audience, of course, about Gormalakian, a defensive midfielder.
Okay. Tell us a little bit. Tell us again.
This guy is a very, very young fellow. The dude has been playing in Ukraine. He's been having a good couple of seasons. I remember if it was just one or two seasons, but as long as he's been there, he's been playing great. He is pure talent, as I was saying. And lately, this last few months, a new coach has undertaken the team where he's been. And after the new coach arrived, he hasn't been playing all that much. And he's a key member of our national team.
Mm-hmm. All right, beautiful.
And, yeah, I mean, he plays beautifully. I mean, his football is amazing. I mean, he can even reach Italy. He can reach the biggest European league, in my opinion.
Nice.
But not if he continues to be benched in his, at his team.
And he's being benched too?
Right now he is. Yeah, he has been being benched for the last few months. And he has been the key for our national team's renaissance in the last year.
Yeah, he's got to get the hell away from Ukraine. That's one thing right there. I don't think Armenian players, besides Mkhitaryan, of course, when he did all that, but since then, I don't think Ukraine's really had a love affair with Armenians anyway. So why not just find another team and or another country and go there? Because 3 months on the bench, are you kidding me? Time to move on.
Yeah, I mean, I do hope he moves on. He gets transferred this off season that's coming up the next month. But I don't know. Ukraine has always been a transition league for Armenian players. You know, Mkhitaryan moved from Armenia to Ukraine and from there to the biggest leagues in the entire world. Bazarian, you remember that that guy? He went from Armenia to Ukraine and then to bigger leagues. He's now playing, I mean, sadly he's injured, but he's now playing in Portugal. I was going to talk about that. We're going to be missing a few key names, a few key footballers for our national team.
For the qualifier?
Yeah, for these two following games.
That's not good. That's not good. All right.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have Gazarian. We don't have Magarchan. That's another awesome defensive midfielder. We don't have Haroyan, the blonde defender. We don't have Manoyan, who has been playing great in Cyprus.
Well, then, how can we win? I mean, our defense was now picking up, playing solid because of these guys. Now you're telling me we're going back to the old defense. Our old defense used to score against us, if you remember. How many goals did we put into our own net? It's unbelievable.
I do. I know what you're talking about. But I don't think it's anything to be too worried about. I mean, we still have Mkhitaryan. We still have the base. You know, the root of our team is still there. And more especially, we got overall, the biggest thing, we got the guy on the bench. We got the coach, Artur Petrosyan. He is a very smart coach, and it's going to be nothing he cannot fix.
Okay. All right. Well, I tell you what, Garrett, it's going to be interesting. So this next one's a friendly against some Caribbean team at I'm seeing this 3-0. I don't worry about it. It's going to be 3-0, 4-0. I like that one. But this qualifier, when is this qualifier again?
The qualifier is
in what month?
Saturday the 10th of June.
Okay. All right, good. So they loosen up a little bit. They whip some butt on this team, and then they take on Montenegro, is it? I think we could definitely do that win this one, too. We don't have to play Poland again, do we?
Yeah, we do. Let me tell you when exactly. We have them a few months from now.
Okay.
We got Poland at home on October the 5th.
Well, I'm pumped up. Yep. That's a winner.
A few days before my birthday. So hopefully they'll give me
your great present. Yeah.
Win.
That's it. All right, Yechpar, I've run out. Yeah, go ahead.
One day after my birthday, we got the last game of the qualifiers against Kazakhstan, a completely accessible game. So hopefully there
we
got another win
for us. Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, what do you got, 11 Borats on that team? We could beat Kazakhstan. No problem with Kazakhstan right there. So, yeah. So that's
I have your reward for it.
What's that?
Do I have your reward for it that we're going to beat Kazakhstan?
Kazakhstan will be beat. Borat, my friend Borat, will be beat, and he will be beat 3-1. That's what I got, 3-1 or 2-1. How about 2-1 or 3-1?
Very nice. I like. Very nice.
Very nice. Yeah, very nice. Yeah, I remember that. All right. Okay, I tell you what. We got to get this thing going, so glad to have you on board, Gare, and keep us informed on what's going on, babe.
As always. Pleasure to talk to you, John.
All right. Take care. And
my love to you all.
Yeah. Same here, man. I'm glad Argentina is all about Armenian soccer. It's beautiful.
We're on the same page. We're on the same nation. We're on the same board, brother.
Same people. That's right. We could spot each other miles away. All right, Yechpar. Take care.
One nation, one love.
That's it. One nation, one love. Yeah, that's a reggae song, wasn't it? Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know. All right, I'll talk to you.
Sure.
All right.
Bye-bye, bro.
Bye-bye. That was Gare Haikazunyan, my friends, and he's our soccer guy, Brian. He's our man. I mean, if anything we need, boom, there he is. And I think we're going to get an update after the Caribbean game. Because you know what? Who are these guys? I mean, honestly. We should beat these guys by 3-4 goals. They're coming to Armenia. They're not going to be pumped up. We're going to be pumped up. And I tell you what, being pumped up is what it's about, my friends. And I like to get you guys a little pumped up about our thing here at our studio. I mean, we run this Armenia Proud. And you know what? I'd love for you guys to check out all the great shows we have out there at lineupmedia.fm. And if you're going to shop on Amazon, that's one of our sponsors here. If you're going to shop on Amazon, why not go through Armenia Proud first, armeniaproud.com. And once you go on our page, you'll see on your right-hand side, you'll see Amazon. Click on Amazon. You won't ever have to see us again, and you shop away. There's people out there shopping every day on Amazon, and their stock's always up. So you guys are always out there shopping. So in any case, go to armeniaproud.com. And if you're going to shop on Amazon, please click on our little Amazon first and then shop away. All right, my friends, our guest for this week, my guest, and I was going through Facebook, and it was amazing because, you know, you think of zip lines and you think of, wow, this is beautiful. And now we've got an Armenian in Armenia that's going to have the longest in the world, I think the longest one, I think right now is in Mexico. And we are going to try to beat this. And it's our man in Armenia, Tigran Chubukchian. And Tigran, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Yeah, tell us about it, man. I seen the little video, and I was in Hayastan. I was in Hayastan last June or July. I think I was in July. And if I would have known you had some sort of a resort like that, and it looks so beautiful in that 5-10 minute video you had, tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, thank you. We started the project in 2015 in Yenokalan village. It's Tavush region near Azerbaijan border with trying to get like extreme activities here in the region, mm-hmm. in the mountains, with getting involving to involve like the young population of the region
right.
in the project. So we wanted to make something like cool and new to make people stay here. And we started with three zip lines from three lines. Not so long ones, not as long ones. Like it was, we have now 260 meters, 130 meters, and 370 meters long. And so today we have already around seven different activities, like rope park or canopy park.
Right.
We have downhill, we have paintball, we have mountain routes, we have horse riding, and today we have already seven lines.
Wow.
Zipping.
Now,
the longest for today is 750 meters, and like 2 weeks ago, we started the crowdfunding campaign for the world longest one. It will be 2,680 meters long. It will connect the resort area with the village area. And we hope to start pushing like all the tourist traffic throughout the village.
Okay. Tigran, I got a question. When it's summertime or something like this, now the kids are getting off school. They are in America. I don't know how it is in Armenia. But once they get off a break, once they start going to summer, do you see more groups coming to your resort?
Yeah, surely. We have the high season for us is July, August. But we are open 12 months a year. We are operating like 12 months a year, and in the future we are now finalizing the strategy till 2025, and we hope to get and the skiing resort also with winter activities. Hopefully we'll finish the project of the toboggan till the end of this year, and several new activities also. So the whole idea is to make a big extreme park. So when you are thinking about to do something crazy, you will get Yell Extreme Park just coming to our place
right.
and doing crazy stuff, and everything is safe.
And that's the key. Everything is safe, what you guys do. That's your priority
sure.
to keep everything
sure,
safe.
Sure.
How many people do you have working for you? There's no way you could do all this by yourself.
So today we have already 27 people working with us.
Wow.
Nice. And now we are in a process of getting to involve new people, new guys, and we are looking for like manager in the park. So we now have five new vacancies in the park.
Excellent.
And actually we are growing very fast, and the whole idea is not only to make something like a park, but like to make a successful business, not in IT, in the real sector. To show that it is possible to make successful business and to make money far away from the capital city,
right?
From Yerevan,
this is more organic. This is kind of sure. like organic. You guys are using Mother Nature, and you're using it in a way that. You're not hurting anything. You're making people aware of what's out there with the most beautiful video I've seen. Those lodges sitting there, just what kind of a thing do you have? Can someone go there like me next year if I want to go to Armenia? Can I stay there 1 week, or how's that work?
Yeah, sure. We have like paid Facebook page, Apaga Resort. Like Apaga in translation means future.
Mm-hmm.
So it's never ending resort.
Right.
You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on internet, apaga.info. And you can find also like Yell Extreme Park. All the project was started in 2004 with like by my family. We started with the horse riding tours. Today we have 40 horses. We have 22 rooms, hotel rooms, and we are now planning to start the construction of the new hotel building with not only active to get to have not only active leisure but to have also like something calm and easy, like spa and something like that.
Now, do you have shuttles or do you have rides from Yerevan to your place, or do they have to come out on their own?
We offer we offered like transfers from Yerevan and from the airport. We have Yell Taxi that can bring you from Yerevan to our place. You will get your activities and come back to Yerevan.
Okay.
It's only $40. And we are now in negotiations with the government to get new ways for getting here, because it's like now a bit difficult situation with the transportation by itself in Armenia. We have only roads, so hope to get some small airport also.
Right, yeah. Now, Tigran, do you... Okay, I've been on cruise ships and all that, and when you're on one of these, you never seem to get what you wanted by... everything being in on these cruise ships, everything's paid for. If I pay 1 week, do I get every access to your park, or am I limited to this or that?
Today we don't have like that kind of possibility because the activities are not so much. So as I told, we are now in the process of finalizing the strategy, and we will start like a new investment round in the end of October. We're trying to get new activities, and in that case, next year, 2018, we'll give you an opportunity to buy like one ticket, one pass for all activities, one day pass. Full activities in Yerevan.
Okay.
In Yell Extreme Park.
So, but you do have, if I want to stay out there 1 week, and you guys will get all the details done, I'm sure of that. But I love it. I can't wait to come out. I think it's going to be, for me, 2018. So you'll have everything readied up for me. I think it's a great idea. I think it's something that, you even said paintball, huh? I mean, I used to own a paintball field, And I tell you what, there a lot of work went in with we'd have to build this or that. You guys have put a lot of time and energy behind this.
Yeah, sure. Like it's actually we have a cool team together that is working every day, we are going to prepare a new very cool paintball field. And we'll have also like a strike ball.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to go up in the mountains, to the mountains, because like the view over there is like really fantastic. And the stuff that we can do there will be really, really cool. I hope to make like a new video for you to describe really the beautiful nature of Davos and the fantastic views over here.
I tell you what, I seen that one video, and we have a Facebook site called A Toast to Armenia. It's a link to Armenia Proud, our show, and I'd love to have your videos come on there, and I hope people tune in and check it out and hit a big like, and maybe down the line, if you have a chance, folks, this is the place to be in Armenia. I mean, besides Yerevan, I didn't really venture off. I went to my in-laws' village, and I thought it was beautiful. But where you where I seen that video, I said, "Wow, this is amazing." So, thank you for putting something like this together. I'm sure
thank
Armenians
you.
All around the world are going to appreciate this.
Thank you very much.
Tigran.
Actually, the day after tomorrow, we are going to Artsakh. We are starting like flights in Artsakh. We'll give you an opportunity to see from the sky the whole Stepanakert, Shushi region, Ganzasar, etc.
And, wow.
I hope next week on Monday or on Tuesday, we'll give you like a new cool video on that.
Well, you know what? I think what I'm going to do, I'm going to talk to my manager here, and I'd love to have your videos. You just be one of my administrators to Toast Armenia. You could put everything on there, too, to where our people can see it instead of me trying to find every one of your videos. It'll be right there. I think it's beautiful, man. I think it's beautiful, and you're doing a great job. And what's the phone number they can reach your resort at, your what's it called again? What's your place called? Yell and Extreme?
Yell Extreme Park.
Yell Extreme Park. See, I would have changed that Yell part. It sounds frightening. I would have made it Extreme Park or something like that. But you got the Yell. Run with the Yell. All right.
Yeah, we started with Yell, so we'll have to finish with that.
Yeah. So what's the phone number that people can reach out and maybe go there for one day from Yerevan, or actually like people like myself and Ger and Anush that do the show with us and Mariam, these folks live in United States or Argentina, you know, they'd love to be out there too.
The number is +374
01 010 030. Okay, sounds great. And how can they fund your project here? I know you're going to need a little help on this. Where can they go for that?
So we, as I told, we have started the crowdfunding on Indiegogo website. It's called The Longest Zipline. You can buy the tickets today, and they are valid for like 5 years, 10 years, so there is no ending for the valid them. So you can buy the tickets today.
And the ticket is for being on this longest zip line, or just being one day pass at your place.
There are several opportunities, several perks on page.
Okay.
So you can buy like a T-shirt, or you can take the 4 day stay in Yell Extreme Park in Apaga Resort. So there are different opportunities over there. The links are on our Facebook page, Yell Extreme Park, and on indiegogo.com, The Longest Zipline.
Okay. All right. Well, we will definitely keep in touch, and I wish you nothing but the best, and I look forward to seeing more videos. And folks, if you're out there, definitely get on board here and help this project out. We've got the longest what? That one thing that climbs up mountains. Well, what is that? It's not an escalator. What do they call those? It's on the cable. The cable.
In Tatev, you mean?
Yeah, we've got the longest. Park. Yeah, we've got the longest one of that. So why not have the longest zip line as well?
We have the longest cable car in Tatev Monastery.
And now we're going to get the longest.
Now zip line. It will be the longest zip line in Yanokava.
Perfect.
And actually, Armenia is cool. Report back, guys. We have really a huge amount of work to do here. And we have a big lack of people living here and doing something crazy.
Okay, so you're saying you need people up there too?
Yes, sir. We need you to come back to Armenia.
Oh, I'm coming. I'm coming. I can't wait because, you know what, I love the city life of Yerevan. It's great. But you know what? There were a couple days where I just wanted to get out, and your place would be ideal for me. And it seems like something that, you know what? I got something for you. I got something for you, Tigran. I think that this would work too. Have a diet place to where, you know, overweight people can go there and just work off weight and get back in shape too for a couple weeks.
Yeah, we have really cool trails for running and hiking over here. Like, we have trails up to 8 hours hike.
8 hours hike. No, that's not for me. That's not for me though.
They're really short to also like 1.5 hours.
That's me. That's me. That's 1.5. Don't go two.
We have also like a horse riding tour for 12 days throughout Armenia. With overnights in the tents, up in the mountains, with crazy views.
That's beautiful. I'm excited, folks. Anyway, get a hold of Tigran. Where can they find you on Facebook too?
Tigran Chibukchan.
Okay.
On Facebook.
And we'll have that link. Open. Yeah, we'll have that link to your site as well, on our Toast to Armenia. So when they click on, they could go right to you as well. All right, Yechbar.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate that.
Thank you so much. I know it was a short notice, but you know what? I couldn't pass this up, and I want people to know about it. You're doing something great. And, again, it's Armenians taking advantage of a beautiful country, and they're making people aware of how beautiful the country is. And go to his video. Go to Tigran's video. You'll see it. It's like a five-minute video, and the man is just walking through, I would say, close to heaven. It was beautiful. All right, Tigran, you take care.
Thank you, guys.
All right, bye. Well, now our next segment. I love the segment, and it kind of relaxes me a little bit here. And it's our wine segment. And our wine segment, who better than to have Anush on? Anush, how are you?
Hello, I'm doing great. How are you?
I am doing great. I just got informed about a lot of stuff about the Armenian players throughout the world, and I'm kind of pumped up. We're playing some Caribbean team coming into Armenia.
Oh.
Yeah, they're coming to Armenia. And I got Gare who's saying that, you know, it's a tricky game. Anush, we should beat these guys by 3-4 goals, shouldn't we?
Yeah, definitely.
Exactly.
This is so funny. I have to, like, it's off the subject of the wine, but when you said Caribbean, when my sister and I, you know, in the United States, my maiden name is Garibian.
Right.
So sometimes some people would say, is it Caribbean?
And you know what? We have my cousin's name is Caribbean, with a K,
yeah.
K-A-R-B. So,
okay.
Yeah. So, yeah.
So another Armenian team is going to Armenia, the Caribbean.
Exactly. Well, you know what? When we win this 3-4-0, what type of wine should we, you love the way I brought that into the thing here. What kind of wine should we be drinking?
Well, definitely to celebrate the win, you should always go with champagne or sparkling with the bubbles. You know, what a better way to do it. And, you know, whatever your budget is allowing you, the French ones from, and we talked about the French sparkling, the champagne prices last time, they can go pretty high, like in the 40s and 50s. But you can definitely celebrate with something less. Italian Prosecco would be great. And something that just has sparkling wine in it, Californian or even French, would be awesome. It's a great celebratory drink.
And you know what, Anush? I was in Armenia last summer. There's Euro soccer being played on a big screen. And there's a field. People are kicking back with blankets, and they have wine, and they have cheese, and they have all sorts of crackers and stuff. And they're just enjoying a beautiful soccer game under the stars, and they're eating this and drinking that. And it was so beautiful. Wine is making a big, big noise in Armenia, I would say.
Definitely. That sounds like such a relaxing evening to spend. So today I wanted to, you know, going to the wine and, you know, eating out, dining out, I thought it would be good to talk this week about, you know, ordering the wine in a restaurant.
Okay.
It's something that a lot of, you know, ordering a wine can be a pretty intimidating task. You know, you open the big book and there is a bunch of things like pages and pages. I mean, sometimes it can be short, but of the wines, and then there's this pressure, you know, what are you going to choose? Especially if you are in a meeting, in a business meeting, you know, everyone trying to, you know, not to look like they don't know what they are doing. So
I think that's my story around wine. I don't know what I'm doing. I twirl it around and I look. I don't know. You've heard it from me about wine.
So yeah, I mean, it's so here's a few things to consider, and then like based on that, it will hopefully make it easier. So the first thing is the markup. You know, you have seen this wine in the on the list that you can buy at the grocery store for $20, and all of a sudden in the restaurant it's like $50-$60. And that is, you know, that's what most of the restaurants do. They have to mark it up at least two times or even to three times and put it on their list.
Really?
And typically, yeah, and typically the cheaper the wine is, the higher the markup is. So here is what I found that reading at the different sources. They say, do not buy the second cheapest bottle on the wine list. If you have a small budget and you see, okay, one wine is $15 and the other one is $25, you know, not to look very like, oh, you know, I like very cheap in a way, you know, you would go for a more expensive one. But they say that the second cheapest bottle is actually the same cost as the cheapest one. But that's how they're trying to get you to spend an extra dollar by putting that up there. So if your budget is low, just go with the least expensive wine.
Right.
Well, don't go for the second list one because they cost the same and you're just paying for, you know, for nothing.
Let me ask you this. I never thought about this till you were just talking about wine and groceries. Is the temperature in a grocery store appropriate for a wine sitting there for over a year, let's say? I mean, you go to these aisles, and I'm sure not every wine is being taken out every 6 months. I mean, I'm sure they're still sitting there on the shelf. Does this hurt the wine because of the temperature and the position it's sitting in?
It would if it was the case, but I don't think it's the case because if the wine is not selling, the grocery store does not want to have their shelf space occupied by something that's not moving. If it's not selling, they will call in the distributor and say, you know what, your wine is not selling, you know, come and collect it. So the wine is actually rotated, and that's why they have the sales because they want movement. They don't want their shelves just sitting there without, you know, just like any other product. You know, if the clothing is not selling, they put on the clearance and they get it out of
exactly.
there.
Exactly. And you know what, on that note, Anush, you always see like a grocery cart that's got all wines in it and it says like 60% off or 70% off on it. Yeah, I see what you're saying now.
Yeah. So going back to the restaurant, so we have identified, you know, don't buy the second cheapest bottle, just go for the cheapest one. Or, you know, another trick to do is they do less markup on the unique brands and varietals. So you are more likely to see a higher markup on the wine that everybody knows, let's say, you know, Kendall Jackson Chardonnay, everybody knows, and it's more likely to have a higher markup. But if you see some, you know, Spanish or Argentinian or any other with a different varietal, the markup is likely to be less because they want you to try it, and they wouldn't put a super high price on it, you know, not to scare you off with it. So right. that's another way of dealing with choosing the wine that is good price at a good value.
That makes sense. That makes sense. Totally. When you're saying that it's okay, like when I'm at a restaurant, Anush, the wines come down. I mean, they give you the list and all that. And I don't ever get the cheapest. I always get the middle, and I don't get the expensive. Uh-huh. And I think that yeah. plays a role, too, that you don't want to look like you just got the cheapest wine, but you don't mm-hmm. want to spend on the most expensive wine or expensive wines. So you kind of find something right on the middle grounds there. And that's the mm-hmm. same as restaurants, too.
Yeah, yeah. And that's where it's the optimal price, you know, like in the mid-range. And here is also something that, you know, you can definitely utilize if they have the sommeliers on staff or if they have people who are in charge of the wine list. It is, you know, you should not feel bad asking them for help. And they should be there to help guide, you know, because they know the menu. They know what the food is, what the wine will pair. So here is like another secret that I read, which is it was kind of cute and it's also very comforting. So they say, let's say you are with a business group and you are in charge of ordering the wine and you have a certain budget on it. You know, you don't want to
right.
like out loud say, you know, this is the price because you don't want to others, you know, you feel
exactly.
uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So you just, you know, you everybody's sitting, you kind of, you invite the guy, the sommelier or the girl, you say, okay, we have decided we're going to have a red wine. We're going to have something from, let's say, California or France. And we want something like this. And then you point, yeah, you show the guy the menu and you point at a price. So it's like a secret code without saying it out loud.
Right, yeah.
To the So, and they like it because they, you know, they want to know exactly where you are. You know, what's your price point? What is your preference? Where do you want the wine from? So when you give them all those clues and then you also secretly like point at the price.
Yeah. Yeah, I do that.
Then they will. Yeah. Yeah. And it's a very good. I mean, the sommeliers, the people who know the wine in the restaurant, they're very helpful in, you know, guiding you through it.
Right. Right. It's interesting. And, you know, I'm always the type of guy at you know what? I've run into some Armenian friends of mine that we've been buying like cheaper wines and like from Trader Joe's. And I tell you what, they taste just as good. I mean, I'm happy with it. So, yeah, and that's what you're saying. It's either cheap.
Yeah.
And then when I get the middle, I'm not getting the same result as I did get when I want to just kick back outside with my buddies and have a couple glasses of wine, and we find that enjoyment from Trader Joe's $7-$8 bottles.
Exactly, but the restaurant is different. You don't have
right.
Know the luxury of doing it. So also in a restaurant, you know, you can ask them for a sample. You know, if it's something that you don't know, if they have the bottle open. You know, they would say, yeah, sure, you know, we'll give you a taste. But if they don't have it, they might not, but it never hurts to ask.
Right.
I
didn't know they did that. They do that?
Yeah.
I got to do that sometime.
I mean, not in every single place, but it doesn't hurt to ask. You can always ask, it's like, do you have by any chance, you know, this wine open so I can try it because this is new and I have never had it to, you know, make my decision. And in a restaurant where they have a lot of wine, most probably they will have it open, especially if it's by the glass. If it's by the glass, then for sure. If they are selling it by the glass, say, well, because sometimes, you know, instead of ordering the bottle, you can go by the glass. But here this is the highest markup. You know, the glass is covering the whole bottle.
Right.
The price of the one glass is the whole price that they paid for the bottle. So
And they actually even sell, they don't bring it in half bottle, but they bring it in that glass, and you can buy a half bottle of wine as well.
Yeah, in the craft. It's kind of cool. So that is another option, you know, to ask them for a taste before, you know, deciding to spend that much money on a particular glass or a bottle.
Right.
So another good.
Well, I tell you, it's this wine isn't that easy, and it's almost like you're being looked at what you drink, and it's definitely a crowd. It puts people to relax mode. Like I said earlier, when we had our Armenians sitting around the fields with their wine, and all the way it transcends to restaurants. It's a beautiful thing to drink and just feel like it's part of being social.
Yeah, and that's why I'm here, to hopefully help a little bit to take that stress off, so that it's not so, because yes, a lot of people are like afraid. They think, oh, this is so, you know, much more complicated, and it's, if I say something wrong or if I do something wrong, you know, I'm going to not look good. But you shouldn't worry about it. You just need to be open and try new things, ask for help.
Right.
And if the person who is at the restaurant who is being rude and arrogant and, you know, looking down, then it should be his place and he shouldn't be called a sommelier, because the job is to be friendly, approachable, helpful, and, you know, all of that.
Right. So what wine do you have for us this week, Anush?
So this week, I thought, I came across, I'm actually going to do a wine tasting of this wine, and I thought this would be a fun thing to, you know, talk about and tell you. It's called Replica Wine.
Mm-hmm.
These wines are... And this is their marketing. They take the wines and they make replica of them, and they put the price cheaper. So it's funny. And their marketing is like unapologetically, like copying, you know, these wines. That's what they're saying. So a just right Cabernet Sauvignon, it's around $13, but it's based and it should taste pretty close to a Cabernet from Rutherford. And then the other one.
And what is the cost of the original one?
Let me tell you exactly what it is. Let me tell you about the Chardonnay. Chardonnay knockoff is the close to Kendall Jackson, mm-hmm. and this is $11, and Kendall Jackson is around like $15 or something. So, and the cab is. Let me see. I don't want to give the wrong.
So you're saying for $4, I'm going to buy the knockoff. Why? I thought you were going to say the original is like maybe $150, and I'm paying $12 for the knockoff. I wouldn't care about four bucks.
It's like 15. Yeah. It's fun to try to see, you know, what they are
right,
trying to do.
Yeah.
It's not huge. I thought that it was going to be a huge price difference too, but, you know, between $5 and $6 and $7, you know, but sometimes when you're buying few bottles,
yeah, those add up.
Good, yeah, they will add it up. So I'm trying to find what is the just right exactly, because they had the exactly one, but I know they're trying to imitate a wine from Rutherford, from Napa Valley. So that's what they're trying to do that. And then also they have all the ratings that we talked about last week.
Last segment.
So all those wines have high ratings. They're like above 90 points.
Wow.
So they're not golf.
Good.
It might be fun, you know. Check it out. They have them on wine.com, the universal website that people can order from everywhere. But in California, they have a Total Wine and More. And I'll be giving more details on them after today's tasting that I have at Total Wine. I'm going to be there tasting the wine.
Well, we can't wait. We can't wait to hear about these wines that you tasted.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. All right. Anything going on this week, Anush?
This week, no. No, not really. It's just pretty low-key.
Low-key. Low-key is good.
For the summer break. Two more weeks of school, and then it's summer vacation.
Yeah, I can't wait for that.
Kids.
Yeah, I can't. I don't have to wake mine up and get her dressed, take her to school. Now she could stay at home and enjoy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All right, Anush, we'll catch you next week. Thank you so much.
Okay.
And enjoy this wine tasting and fill us in on how that went.
Sounds good.
Go ahead.
I have the wine. I opened my Facebook page, so I'll post some stuff there.
Oh, please tell us again your Facebook page, too. I mean, are you making a wine page?
Yeah, it's my wine page. It's my Facebook wine page. It's called Anush's wine page.
That's original. That's original.
Creativity.
I think that's all yours.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, so, Anush's wine page.
Anush's wine page, and I will post more details over there and then share it.
All right, we got to get this out, get this info out. I'm going to hit a big like to it and get all your inside information on good wine then.
All right.
Thank you so much, Anush. Okay. We'll talk to you next week.
Talk to you next week. Have a great weekend.
You too. All right, my friends, I told you it was going to be a long show, and it was well worth it. It was a great show. I'm glad you guys liked it. Mariam couldn't get on. Well, you know what? It might have been a blessing this time because we ran way over. But we'll have Mariam on the following week, and we'll have another great show here. And, hey, I like to give a little shout-out to one of our people that puts great stuff on the Toastor Armenia site on our Facebook, and that's Sevan Bogos Derbedrosyan, and she's been really on fire putting on great stuff on Toastor Armenia. I appreciate it. I just didn't want you to think I forgot about you. So thank you so much for putting these great articles and great posts up on Toastor Armenia. Thank you. All right, my friend, that concludes another great show, Genatsit Kisher Party, and we will see you next week.
Tune in next week for another episode of A Toast to Armenia with Jano Kabinjian. Find the show online at armeniaproud.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, and all major podcast outlets. Join the conversation at facebook.com/armeniaproud or Twitter at armeniaproud. Get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.